All right. Thank you, Bob. And thank you all for singing that beautiful song, Complete in Thee. And like Bob mentioned, especially during this time of year, we're reminded of the finished work of Jesus Christ, what he accomplished on our behalf, and the benefits of that. And there are some wonderful resources available. And one of them certainly is a masterful book called Jesus Christ, Our Passover. And I would recommend that you get a copy of that, if that's at all possible, or borrow one. And traditionally, this day in the Christian world and church is recognized as something called Palm Sunday. You can read about that in the Gospels, about Jesus's entry into Jerusalem. But it's also known as his triumphant entry. And one of the things that happened as he was coming into Jerusalem is it says they strawed, or they put down branches, and it's common knowledge, I think, that these branches were palm branches. And something of interest is palm branches, palm fronds were always symbolized as something that represented victory. And although Jesus was making these steps down that pathway towards his ultimate arrest, trial, if you want to call it that, and crucifixion, his death, you know what? He was accomplishing victory for us through and by way of all these different things I mentioned. And then ultimately, his resurrection from the dead, which was just absolutely incredible. And then the giving of the Holy Spirit, which was evidenced by speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost. So a lot of things going on here. But I want to get focused here this morning on something I'm just going to call our victory in Christ. And I assume we have some basketball fans out there. San Diego State did quite a thing last night where they won a nail-biter right down to the very end, but one shot, and they won the game. The NC2A Final Four, they were playing quite a good team, but you know, there's got to be a winner, and there's got to be one who doesn't win, and so they'll go on to play at the next level. But my point in mentioning that is, it's so much fun to win, right? You know, a lot of things that we do, whether it's playing against others or just for our own satisfaction, maybe setting goals, you know what? We cherish success. For me, I almost find it an emotional experience watching Olympic champions, people who are competing to their highest level of performance in the Olympics, and all the training and all the, let's call it, blood, sweat, and tears that they went through to get to that place of peak performance. And somehow in my heart, I just identify with the thrill of that victory. And seeing them on the gold medal stand, what do they call that? The victory stand, where they receive their award. Well, there's going to be a point in time in the future, after the return of Jesus Christ, where we also are going to receive rewards. And it's called the Bema in Greek, B-E-M-A. It's that place they hand out rewards. It's translated in the King James as the judgment seat, but really it's, we've already been judged and we've been found innocent. Jesus took our place at Calvary as the substitute, and we received the great blessings and benefits, so that now when we stand at the Bema, we too will receive rewards of different types. I want to look in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Our victory in Christ. Boy, I tell you, this is a rich, rich, rich subject. And it's not about us. It's about what Jesus has already accomplished and finished our behalf. And so in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, love these first two words, but what? But God. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us or made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the what? The gift, the gift, the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved by grace, not by works. God has done the heavy lifting. Jesus Christ willingly took upon him the, he walked it out in loving obedience to fulfill the destiny that God had before time called out. Because we're reminded of the promised seed in Genesis 3:15. Jesus was the promised seed, and he lived out by his willingness and his understanding of who he was to fulfill, so that now we get to benefit. And, you know, champions are people who hold out under stress, and they stand firm even if they have to stand alone. You know what? Champions persevere under pressure. They wait calmly and courageously. Champions resist weariness and defeat. In other words, they don't allow their circumstances to rule them. Take your Bibles and look at Romans chapter 8. We'll be reading from verse 35. And, of course, in reading this quotation, champions are people who hold out under stress and stand firm, even if they have to stand alone. Who was one man at the very end who had to stand alone, who held up under stress, under pressure? He stood firm, even when all others deserted him and forsaked him. There was the Lord Jesus Christ, the champion of all time, who faced crucifixion, who faced the agony of what he went through on our behalf. And you know what? He did it. He did it. And it says actually that he did not speak one word against his accusers. And actually, at the very end, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow. Talk about a champion. Talk about a heart. We have that Christ living within us. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. No. This says nay. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Another translation says we are super conquerors through him that what? Loved us. Jesus went to the cross for love. He was moved by love. He embraced love. He was the living word. He was living love. Verse 38 says, For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Champions, the heart of a champion, perseveres under pressure. They maintain and have patience and exercise and have courage. They resist. And maybe I should say we, because we're the champions. We resist weariness and defeat. We do not allow circumstances to control and rule us. There's nothing that can separate us. I mean nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, the quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence, regardless of their chosen field of endeavor. Nobody who ever gave his best regretted it. Setting a goal is not the main thing. It is deciding how you will go about achieving it and staying with the plan. Let me read that again. The quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence, regardless of their chosen field of endeavor. You work in the post office, then be the best you can be in the post office. You work as an auto mechanic, be the best there. See, we're all representatives of God, and we exemplify this through the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. Our victory in Christ. You know, Jesus defeated death. The devil thought he had pulled one off when he had Jesus killed. But it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I believe, that if the devil would have known, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Oh my gosh. You know why? Because now there can be multiple Christs. Jesus was one man, but once he died, was raised from the dead, ascended, giving of the Holy Spirit, every time there's a born-again Son of God, there's Christ. There's Christ. And there's Christ. And there's Christ. See? That seed multiplied. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with what? Patience, the race that is set before us. What is that race? That's our lives. It's the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the what? Joy? The joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest I be weary and faint in my mind. We have never, ever been in a situation that even remotely compares to what the Lord Jesus Christ encountered in those days leading up to and including his subsequent death. It says to think about that, and that we look to him. I want to read the New International Version of those verses, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Colossians 1:27, it says, it's Christ where? In you. Christ in you. That Spirit of God, that Christ in you, gives you supernatural strength, supernatural power that's above your own ability. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's a great quote. I firmly believe that any man's finest hours, his greatest fulfillment of all that he holds dear, is that moment when he has worked his heart out in good cause and lies exhausted on the field of battle, victorious. The spirit, the will to win and the will to excel, these are the things that will endure, and these are the qualities that are so much more important than any of the events themselves. After all the cheers have died down, after all of the accolades of men are gone, after the headlines have been written, after you are back in the quiet of your own room and the, let's say, the championship ring has been placed on the dresser and all the pomp and fanfare has faded, the enduring thing that is left is the dedication to doing with our lives the very best we can to make the world a better place to live. Vince Lombardi said those words, and I just think they're so applicable to the believer, that we exercise our given abilities and talents, whatever they may be, as varied as they are, and that's a wonderful thing, and we live out from our hearts the best we can. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. Our victory in Christ. I love this is such a great, great subject. And by the way, I think I read that some of those palm fronds are actually interwoven, and that's what they place on the winner's head at the Greek athletic contests. And I believe where they handed out the awards in the Greek Olympics was called the Bema too. So that's an award stand. It's not a judgment to condemnation. We've been judged, all right, and we've been found innocent because of what Jesus accomplished on our behalf. And here it is, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth, which means set apart, and they who are set apart, sanctified, are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, verse 12, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. Verse 14, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is what? The devil. You know, this is an interesting verse because it says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, it says, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Why does that say part? Because Jesus had innocent blood. That's why the sin nature did not pass down to Jesus. Jesus' father was the Almighty God. Jesus' mother was Mary, but there was no interchange of blood between Mary and Jesus. His blood was perfect, whereas every other person who's lived down through time since the sin of Adam has inherited by nature the sin nature that transfers. Because it says in Leviticus 17, the life of the flesh, where? Is in the blood. This is so incredible. God is just so great. And so Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. He was our Passover lamb. He's the one who was sacrificed. You know, that 10th of Nisan I was talking about on Palm Sunday, what we call, was also the day that they chose the Passover lamb. And they began to really inspect and look at, get the correlation. Jesus was our Passover lamb. Only God could have figured this out, because no person is smart enough to have even begun to think about this. And it says in verse 15, because of what he did and destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Okay, well, do people still die in today's world? Well, yes, absolutely, they do. But one of these days, it's all going to get worked out, straightened out. Revelation says there'll be no more death. There'll be no more dying. There'll be no more crying, no more sickness, no more of all these natural disasters and all these other stuff. Because Jesus defeated the enemy. You know, nothing paralyzes our lives like the attitude that things can never change. We need to remind ourselves that God can change things. He can change anything. You know, our outlook determines outcome. If we see only the problems, it's almost guaranteed you're going to be defeated. But if we see the possibilities in the problems, we can have victory. Victory. I want to go back to Romans chapter 8, because I think this is just such a beautiful section. And which one that we can all identify with. Because we go through our things. We may not go through some of these things it's talking about in here. Verse 35, Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? Well, that one we get. Mental pressure, affliction, stress, and it says distress or persecution or famine, maybe growing hungry, Anthony, or nakedness or peril or sword. Verse 36 says, for it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But what? 37. No. Say it with me. No. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more than conquerors. It's a done deal. It's past tense. It doesn't say we will be. It says we what? Are. We are more than conquerors. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, life, angels, principalities, powers, not things present, nor things to come, nor height, depth, or any other creature, it's not going to be able to separate us, you, me, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know, if you want a wonderful experience sometime, you take your Bible and you go to the New Testament and you look up in a concordance, Blue Letter Bible or something maybe you use online, and you look at two little words, but God. You see, how many times human resources have been brought to a complete end, a complete and utter end. Despair has gripped the heart, and pessimism and gloom has settled upon people, and there's nothing that can be done. And then we see the words, and they could be 10 feet tall and 10 feet wide, and this is what the Spirit of God had written. So that people in our day and time and people down through the generations would read. And it says, but God, but God, but God. And guess what? The whole thing changes in a victory, in a moment of time. This was the mystery that was kept secret from before the foundations of the world. Because it says in Corinthians, if the devil would have known it, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory. But guess what? The devil's the loser. We win. We got the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus. See? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. But God, who is rich in mercy. Well, thank God, God is rich in mercy because he's withholding merited judgment. He's withholding what we do deserve and giving us what we don't deserve. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. Verse 57. But thanks be to God. It doesn't say but God, but it says but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is. We have the victory in Christ. How do I know that? It says so right here, 1 Corinthians 15, 57. Thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58. And my benediction and close to this teaching here this morning. God bless your wonderful hearts. Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor, it's not in vain in the Lord. You are a champion. And at some point in time, I pray it will be soon, we all will stand at the bema, the judgment seat, where awards are given out for faithfulness and expectations and things done in the body of Christ. Can I keep records of that? No. But you know what? God's a lot smarter than us. He knows. He knows the deal. And so that's something that we can look forward to. But if I communicated anything this morning, it's that, hey, we've got the victory in Christ. We can have the championship attitude. We can approach life every day, every moment of every day, as the victors that we truly are. We are not victims. We are victors because our victory is in Christ. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for this good and solid and strengthening and encouraging word that just helps us to stand up and throw our shoulders back and say, hey, I am victorious. I don't care how I feel, what the doctors may say, what's going on in the world today. We say these things because it's what your word says is true. And we thank you, Father, that you will continue to work with us to show us how much you love us day by day by day, Father. And we pray for all of God's people who are hearing this now and will hear it in the days and weeks and months and years to come, should the Lord tarry. And we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.